Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Well, right off the bat, I'm not Robbie Dillmore this morning. I'm Jerry Mathis, and Robbie's got a family function going on, so he's not even in the studio with me. But that being said, I am so blessed this morning. In the studio with me is Matthew Sink and Derek Mashamande and Yvonne. Just going to be a great morning. One thing about it is the fact that this is a morning that I get to have a couple people in this room with me that I really do like. And most time there's people in here that I really do like. But these are people I really do like. And this is going to be a great morning. We're going to have a great hour of just talking about how God is able to use both of these men in a mighty way. And I'm going to kick it off. I want to go ahead and go to Matthew. I want you to introduce yourself. Matthew Sink, I'm going to go ahead and lead up to it. Senior Minister, Pinedale Christian Church. And then I'll just want to say a couple things about that. Is the fact that a lot of churches, and one of the things we're going to talk about this morning is trends inside the church. It's just the function of the church. And one thing that I'm in church leadership as an elder at Pinedale is I hear the horror stories of transition. And one thing that has happened this past year at Pinedale, we had a passing of the baton as far as senior minister goes with Bill McKenzie to Matthew Sink. And just the flow of that has just been, I mean, it's just been a blessing to see. And where you normally don't see that in church. And part of that is the two men that I just mentioned. Matthew, tell me a little bit about yourself. And what first thing I want to do, after you introduce yourself, tell me why in the world you decided to go into ministry.
Well, that's a complicated question. And first of all, I'm still reeling from what you said a minute ago when you said you were in the booth with two people you really liked. To know me is not to like me, and I don't even really get that kind of praise at home. So I'm still trying to process what to do with that. I've been at Pinedale now for several years, but like you said, only a few years in the role where I'm serving right now. And it is just such a good place to work, and God has blessed me so much. I got into ministry in the back door, really, Jerry, because I was a teacher, an elementary school teacher, for the first part of my life coming out of college for the first 13 years. And my journey into ministry has been a late one, and it's been a scary one, because it was a calling from the Lord that I ran from until I couldn't run anymore. And since then, all I can say is it's been an adventure. it is a daily adventure, so there you go. And by the way, I'm going to be careful what I say here because you're my boss at the church, so I have to mind my P's and Q's.
I hear you. It's been a blessing. And it's amazing how God unfolds things and puts people, because I know when Matthew came and first, I think he came and started working at the church, he's just a part-time in the singles ministry. And how many years ago has that been?
200. Yeah. I don't know.
It's not what it feels like.
It's another life ago. 10 years ago is when I started on staff. A little more than that, maybe 12 years ago.
Wow, time flies.
Yes, sir, it does. I had more hair back then.
Well, Derek, tell me a little bit about yourself. And then, you know, one thing, and I know you've been in the studio with me before, and I never really mentioned this, but then I thought about it yesterday, because we always talk about the fund, the Mushroom Monday fund and the mission trips and stuff, because that is where your passion is and God is using you there. But just what is your everyday job through the week? Because that's also, because I know, and I'm speaking from somewhat experience, how God uses you every day just in your job at the hospital.
Yeah, my name is Derek Mushayamunda. I am originally from Zimbabwe, Southern Africa. So of which Matthew Sink, who is in here with me, have taken a trip to Zimbabwe, and we had such a wonderful mission work there together. And of course, Brother Jerry has been a very great mentor to me as a big brother, and has been such an inspiration, not just him, but our Sunday school class, that has done marvelous things in terms of making sure that the village in Zimbabwe, Africa, gets lots of supplies in terms of pencils, pens, and Bibles, things that help people to see the hand of God and be able to say, ah, that God you worship, I see as a something that's worth being part of as well. But being here in the United States, you know, I am being part of Pinedale, which has been part of the journey of my life since I was born, because of the connection with Dr. Dennis Pruitt, who used to be sponsored or supported by Pinedale Christian Church from Sprague Street, who became a missionary and connected with my parents in Zimbabwe. You know, I've been able to work here with the transplant group, you know, which helps, you know, with organ transplantation, and as well as working with patients in the hospitals and families. So this has been an amazing journey, just being able to be there, to be the shoulder that somebody can lean on during their very difficult moments at their worst of the worst.
Yeah, and I know that working in that environment is sort of, you have to almost walk on. It's a fine line to with your Christianity. You can't, you know, do but so much. But I do know that Christ works through you, and it's pretty evident. And that's a powerful ministry just in itself. And we sort of kind of, I know whenever I talk to you, I sort of forget about that ministry, but that is a ministry and stuff. And we're going to talk a little bit moving forward about why missions are important to you, and I think we're going to know that answer. And also with Matthew, why is that, for one thing, why is missions important to Pinedale? And we're going to talk a little bit about big church and small church. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a place for both and a calling for both, and it's so important that we recognize the differences and what the opportunities are, because Pinedale's a large church. I mean, it's not the largest church or anything else, but it does give us an avenue to be able to reach people who are hurting, where a small church can't do that. That's why missions are important. I often say, and Matthew has taken this this banner also and moved forward with it, where we're a church that number one is kids, our children. But if that's number one, 1A right underneath it is missions. And you agree with that, Matthew?
Absolutely. Our church is really based on the two things that you said, and they're not even two separate things, because we look at children's ministry as missions work. It's the mission field that's right in front of you, and our missions program extends from there to the far corners of the globe, and of course that's by design, right? Because that was the marching orders that Jesus gave us.
Yeah, if we want to look for a blueprint to do it, you know what? What better way? Where should we start? And that's what Jesus calls us to do. And Derek, I know being here and being away from the village and stuff, but it continues to be, that's what drives you. That's why everything you do points to one thing, is reaching the lost there. Because it's just as important that we bring people to Christ in the United States, but also it's important that in Africa and other parts of the world that we have that same passion. And, you know, I think, what do you got? Tell me, what's your brother's names that are part of the foundation?
My brother's names are Donald, Dennis, and Daniel. All these brothers were given these names by a missionary as well.
Yeah, that just goes back to where we never know what seeds were planted and how they're going to be harvested by God. You're a perfect example of that. We'll be back in just a moment. Kingdom Pursuit. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuit. This morning, once again, got Derek and Matthew in the studio with me. As we're sitting there, we talk about trends inside the church and stuff. We talked a little bit about where their passions are, and both of them, I'm tell you now, one of their biggest passion is just reaching the lost and being able to show Jesus Christ through whatever avenues we have. And so we sit there and we look at and we talk about church, because this morning I want to spend time talking about the church. And the church isn't necessarily just that Pine Hill Christian Church, it's that on Peters Creek Parkway or the church on the corner, but it's just the church in general. We look at the blueprint is what Christ had told us, and what New Testament tells us is in Acts, the New Testament church. What do you think the New Testament church was all about? I mean, what was the blueprint that God gave us? Derek, I'm going to throw that one your way.
Yeah. You know, when I hear that, I vividly see, you know, Christ himself saying to his disciples then that became apostles, go ye to the end of the world, you know, preach the good news to the poor, you know, to all those who listen to you, you know, preach unto them. So when I look at the New Testament, his command is really to go out and preach the good news of Christ Jesus, his resurrection, his death, and everything else that he did for us while we were yet sinners. And he was able to say, this is what I want you to go and do and bring the light unto the world. So that light is the light that emanates even in the areas that are mostly even called dark continent, like the continent of Africa, where many people had not really heard the word of God. And so this is where my passion is as well, even when I come from Pinedale, and with all the support that we get from our church at Pinedale and many other local friends and churches that have the passion to get out there and change the world.
If all of that being said, and as we talked about, as part of the New Testament church is just being there and supporting the believers, but the main thing is just reaching the lost. And my question for Matthew is, we're looking at from the church perspective, has that changed? Or does it need to change?
It definitely does not need to change, in a sense. So let me say what I mean by in a sense. I mean, Derek has such passion when he speaks, and he's right in what he's saying, that Jesus is the one who gave us our marching orders. And he, in the Great Commission, he said, go out and make disciples, you know, teaching them to obey what I've commanded, and baptizing them. And then in Acts, he said, and start right in front of you with Jerusalem, and then Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. So our marching orders came from Jesus himself. So the bottom line is, our mission has not changed. And of course, our message has not changed either from the very beginning. But what has to change, and really for modern churches, whether we're talking about, I mean, you said big church and small church, well, we're all one church, right? And so when you think about the mission of the church, our methods do have to change. And so our mission hasn't, but the way that we approach that mission has to. And that was even true in New Testament times. The disciples and the early Christians used different methods when they went out and ministered in Samaria than they did when they were in Jerusalem. And they used different methods when they were in Antioch, which was a Gentile city, than they did when they were in Jerusalem. And when you see Paul go to, say, Athens, Paul argued and reasoned with the people in Athens in a different way than he approached different cities. And so the point is, even in New Testament times, there was a different approach that was required to share the same method or the same message. And that's really true for us too, because the church right in front of us right now, I mean, if you just start on our block, the church in America is changing fast. America is changing fast. I bet there's been more change in this country in the last 20 years than there were in the 60 years previous to that. And some of that change, I think, is positive, and we see a lot of change that's negative too, but it definitely requires us to rethink our methods, right? Because we have to find a way to speak the language of the culture where we're living with the timeless message that doesn't change.
Yeah, and then so then we look at that and we flip it back to Derek with missions. I mean, I know you're a product, a child out of the mission field because of how you grew up. I mean, your parents, they invited a missionary to come in and become part of the family. But really that missionary, Dr. Pruitt, came there for one reason. The same thing Matthew was just talking about, same thing you talked about early on, is the fact that the Old Testament church, it was to go out and evangelize, go out and introduce people to Christ. And is that happening in Zimbabwe now? And as you talk about things are changing, not just the United States changing, the world is changing. I mean, things that we take for granted here. I mean, just a moment ago, you talked about how much is gas a gallon. And
yeah, in Zimbabwe, things are very expensive. And things that we may look at here as things that are of no value, people there value those things, you know, that, you know, things such as small pencils and pens and for kids to be able just to go to school and to have something on their feet, you know, when they do, it's a huge thing. But again, all that, you know, people have gotten to see the hand of Christ because of people who were obedient to the word of God and to the command when Christ Jesus says, go ye and preach the word, starting from Jerusalem to Samaria to Judea and to the end of the world, and of which with that obedience, those who are at those other parts of the world have been able to receive the word. There's no place now that you can find more response than when you go out to the other parts of the world, of which Africa is one of those places where you can go and find people that are so hungry for Christ Jesus right now, and they are ready to receive the word right now. So
it is interesting that when you look at the growth of Christianity, the United States has almost become a post-Christian nation. I mean, you see that in trends everywhere you look. But there's places in Africa and Asia and even Europe right now where the gospel is exploding. I mean, there are big things happening.
Yeah, it goes to, we live in a country, we take, as I said earlier, we take so much stuff for granted. Where you go into Zimbabwe, you go into Dominican Republic, you go into Jamaica, and you go into areas that there is a hunger for that. And the thing is, you can use tools, and this is going to go back to what we're talking about, the church in America, how do we use tools? But you can go in there, and just a pencil can make an impact, and that can be a tool to get people to understand the love of Jesus Christ. If it's a craft or a windsock, it doesn't, you know, little things like that, a notebook so that they can have a notebook to take to school. I mean, is that not a tool?
That's a wonderful tool. You know, that's the thing, when people can see the practical Jesus, who is holistic, who can meet people's daily needs where they are and walk with them from where they are, then they will say, you have truly walked where Jesus walked.
And that gospel never changes.
And the gospel never changes.
And that's where we get back to our church and the church in America. As you said, Matthew said it, we live in a culture and a world that's changing rapidly.
And again, I think there are some changes in the United States right now that are positive. And even when you think about the way that we have identified racial sin and gender-related sin in the country and brought those to the forefront, and you can keep going with this list, I think that's a positive, some of the changes that we're seeing. But there are a lot of changes that I think grieve all of us around this table right now. And one for sure is that we don't just live in a post-Christian nation, we live in a post-truth nation. Because our country now really, really defines truth more based on feelings and crowdsourcing truth than on some standard of truth. And it's, in some ways, it's a post-decency nation. I mean, the way that people relate to each other and treat each other, I know, grieves me. And so we're ministering now in a culture that's very different than the one that a lot of us grew up in. I'm 45 years old, and even I can say that. I mean, that it's a different world than the one that I grew up in. And I know this, that when I went to Zimbabwe last year with Derek, that it was different preaching and ministering in Zimbabwe than it is in the United States. I'm not saying better or worse. It's just different. It's a different way that you have to approach people. So for us in the United States church, if we're going to look right in front of us and say, how do we minister in this context? It takes some discernment. We can't do the things that we've always done just because we've always done them. We need to have some wisdom and say, our culture is changing. So how do we speak the language of our culture?
And I'm going to give you a second, Matthew, to think on this. And before we come back from break, so I don't want you to answer it now. But how, as a minister, how do you lead a congregation? How do you lead a group of people to understand that and realize the value in one thing is change, but also the value of making sure that we don't change the gospel? I mean, that's two monumental things that we have to deal with. And also before we go, so I don't miss this at the end of the show, Derek, real quick, give us the email address or the website for the foundation. And that way, I know you can go on Kingdom Pursuit and pull it up there, and there's a link to it. But also, if you're just listening, don't want to go to the website, not able to, what is that?
The website is mcdfoffense.org.
There you go. It's a great opportunity to get involved in that. I don't care where you're hearing this, you can get involved. Be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuit. And as it went out, one of the questions I was going to ask Matthew, as a minister, how do you lead a group of people in a congregation to fulfill what God would have the church do?
Okay. I think the answer to that question has to start with helping people remember our identity. Okay. That when you're standing in front of a church, the first thing the church needs to remember is who has God called us to be? Because our culture is looking at the church, and they're seeing the church through misconceptions and things that they've heard rumored, and the way the media portrays church, which everybody here knows isn't usually accurate at all, sometimes unfortunately, but not usually. So we need to ask the question, who are we, and what do people know us for? I mean, when people look at our church, what do they know us for? What do they know that we're for? Does that make sense? Not just what we're against, what are we for? So when you're leading a church, you need to start by asking the question to everybody, who are we? What are we known for? So let's start here. We want to be a church that is a Bible church. We want to stand on truth. And so in a world that's post-truth, we want to say the Bible is our foundation and we are people of the Bible and we don't apologize for it. Jesus doesn't need a lawyer. We're just going to stand up and be people who proclaim the truth. And then we need to say we're people who invest in children. The heavens, the world is investing in our kids hard, right? And new stats that are really depressing right now say that 2 out of every 3 American young people walk away from the church between the ages of 18 and 29. So we've got to ask ourselves the question, how can we invest in kids and help them maybe avoid the landmines of the culture where we live? And then after that, what I would say is every church right now needs to think about how we go out and let people know what we're for. And I almost want to encourage churches to invest in your work gloves, to get outside the church and sweat in the community, to work for the Lord in your community. Because obviously, when Jesus said, start in Jerusalem, he was saying, start right in front of you. Let's go out in our community and let's be part of the lives of the people around the church. Don't let the church walls be walls where we hide behind. Get out there and work in front of the community. Because we are labeled so often as backward and bigots and whatever it is people want to say. We need to be known for doing good and known for serving the least of these and known for loving our neighbors. And so I'd say, Jerry, to answer your question, to lead a church right now means to start by saying, what are we known for? And let's be very intentional about thinking through that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it certainly does. And I think we can, as far as churches go, and this happens, it's just human nature. We can get pulled off track or pulled into the ditch or in the woods just because of we let the culture around us dictate that, because it's almost where we want to be. I want to form to whatever the culture's telling me. And I think that's what makes us, the church, different from the world, or it should. And that's why I think we also take our passions, because you have a passion, and it's said through the ministry. Derek is through a ministry. It's a different ministry, and that's the passion of missions. And is that in, is that when you're doing that, and I say that, I'm trying to think how to say it so it comes out right, but how many times could you let the culture influence that? Because it's easy to walk away from the Mission Monday Village because of all the things that's happening around it and thinking, is it really worth the effort to do this? Is it really making an impact? Because everything's fighting against me. I know some of your trips you've gone on where it was almost going, let's pray it up, because what's going on over there is telling me not to go. But you go.
Because there's lots of political pressure to where the pressure around can be very huge, to where it's very scary and threatening, to where you feel sometimes like, is it worth going into this territory and fight the principalities of this universe, you know, of which we know that's a spiritual warfare, you know, where the darkness is fighting the light. So when you have that, then you have to fully put on the full armor of Christ Jesus so that you can be able to pierce through the darkness and be able to conquer that darkness. So there's lots of pressure from the outside, you know, that sees the light coming in and that doesn't want to see the light come in, and fighting that. So we are determined to keep pressing on, even with the American church helping with the African church. We are making that big strides.
Absolutely. And we sit there and we talk about church and stuff, and we talk about the church in the U.S. I mean, there's so many trends that are changing in the church. I mean, now with the storefront churches that are one service, and that's the big box, and that's just the all the effort goes into that, and which there's a place for that. As I mentioned, the small church, the church on the corner for that little community that's always been like I call it the holy huddle, where they sort of cling together. They're there to support each other. But then you go into the church like Pinedale, where we do some things that is really unique for a larger church. I mean, we think, Pinedale thinks, and that one of the things, we children, our kids are first, missions, but then also just nurturing our body and the congregation. That's why Sunday school is so important. And you sit there and you see that, and that's not important in a lot of places. Why Matthew said putting on gloves and stuff would leave it better, where we go out into the community and bring Christ to the community, not in the name of Pinedale Christian Church, but in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's the same thing when you say that's just a tool we use, just like the pencil is in Zimbabwe or the notebook or whatever it may be. And we sit there and we look, you know, just how is God going to be able to use us? And it's not really as important about, you know what, I'm going to get a movement going and hope that God gets behind it. It's, you know, we need to step back, and I think we've done that. And most of the successful churches and mission movements and ministry movements is whenever it's just, how can I partner with God for his purpose? And that's a big, to me, that's a big difference when it's my purpose or God's purpose.
I think one of the things that has really hindered the church in the United States over the years is how we let our churches be so divided. And especially, I mean, here in the South, there's churches all over the place, right? And we tend to isolate ourselves from each other and compare ourselves to each other. And we almost compete with each other, which cannot be what Jesus intended from the very beginning. I mean, think about it. One of the mottos at our church is, we're not the only Christians. We're just Christians only, right? And when you look outside of the walls of Pinedale Christian Church, there are some great churches around us. I mean, great churches, and some are bigger than us and some are smaller than us. But the bigger thing that especially right now in America, that I think we need to all understand is we're on the same team here. And there is something big that's happening in our country. I mean, there's a wave that's coming that's a big one. It's more important than ever in my mind for all of us to get on the same page and say, you know what, wherever you are, leverage the opportunity in front of you. And so if you have 20 people in your church on Sunday or 20,000 people, leverage the gifts and opportunities in front of you, and let's be bold and get out there and work for Jesus in the world around us.
Yeah, because for all of us, we see change around us. But that change, one thing, and you mentioned, and it's been mentioned multiple times this morning, what's the one thing that can't change? That's the gospel.
Right. So if I'm in a small church and we have very limited resources, the question we've got to ask is, how do we leverage the resources that we have for the good of the kingdom? If you're in a bigger church, you have a greater responsibility, but it's the same mission, right? I mean, the Lord isn't judging the size of the gift. He's saying, be faithful with what I've given you, and let's get out there and be bold in the world around us. So in whatever church context you're in, that's our mission.
Yep. Step up to the plate and be bold. Mm-hmm. Be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuit. This morning, as I said, we had Derek in the studio and Matthew. We're covering a lot of bases. And I'm really wanting to just use this for just an open forum, just to sort of talk about, you know, where God is leading us and where God is leading you two men. And we think about the church and we start breaking it back down to a little bit of the local church and stuff. And the question was, how do we still make the Great Commission and also in Acts, the New Testament church, how do we still make that alive and exciting? And, you know, I think when you do a mission trip, it's always, what's the important thing to draw the kids and the non-believers to you is something that's exciting. Because I know one of the things that Derek, that y'all do, and is just the soccer. Y'all will have soccer tournaments and stuff. You go, what has soccer got to do with Jesus?
Yeah, that's those little things really bring excitement to people who have never had a soccer ball before, but they are fans of soccer. And when you can bring them before them and say, here's a soccer ball, but what we are going to do here first is to have a devotional and read the scripture and preach the word. And then after that, we can be able to work together as teams and know that we are here for fellowship. Like the early church that got together and people fellowshiped together and knew one another and knew how to encourage each other and save one another. So this has been amazing tools that we use to preach the word, being very practical with the word, being very holistic with the word so that people can really see the practical side of Jesus as well. So any little things that can make an impact in kids, it just draws them to the Lord and getting them to see the hand of Jesus Christ, things that they never dreamt about or envisioned, or going to school or just getting a nutritious drink once a week when they haven't eaten anything in a week, then this is huge for them because they are saying, wow, this is the true Jesus we have heard about that we are, you know, we desire to follow. So as a result of this, I take mission trips at least every year to, you know, really supported by our church, Pinedale Christian Church. And now we are taking another group from Old Richmond Methodist Church in Tobaccoville in May 15th. So we would like for people to pray for us for this. And And if you have anything that you want to give towards it in terms of pencils, and pens and things like that, you can do that as well.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to serve. And so we sit there and we look at the church in general. We look at Pinedale, just taking a snapshot of Pinedale. I know that it's an exciting time at Pinedale. And part of that reason is for what Derek just talked about, using soccer as a means to be able to introduce people to Christ. You know, we're fixing to go into a major remodel project at Pinedale. And what would be the purpose in that? Well, I mean, can we spend our, could we ask the congregation to spend money in a better way than that?
Anytime that we ask the congregation to step up, it's for the purpose of the gospel that you said at the beginning, the marching orders that Jesus gave us. On this one, we're looking at a building that hasn't been touched in a long time when you think about major renovation. And of course, we don't worship buildings. That's not what this is about. But it's more a recognition that we live in a world right now where this next generation grew up in a multimedia age. I mean, they grew up surrounded by so many different types of media, and their minds are always being fed by those things. And of course, it's easy for people who grew up in a different age to criticize that, but this is the world where they live, right? What we want to do right now is we want to upfit our facility to have technology that can speak the language of this next generation. And that's a big proposition. I mean, it's not easy to do when you build a room before there was a such thing as internet almost. It takes a lot to go back and change. And yet we do that for the same reason that we've been saying. We do that because we're trying to find how to speak the language of a culture has learned a different language over the years. And that includes media and technology elements that are really important when you think about how to reach people in our time.
Yeah, because I think we look at Pinedale and look at the history of that church. And most churches, you know, there was a time when change starts happening, but always if the change, as I said earlier, is we look to see where God is leading us. And I think that's what we're talking about doing there. And there's been multiple churches that have done that. If it means changing the seating to the sound, to the lights, what's the purpose of that?
Well, change is scary. And by the way, a lot of churches have trouble making changes, but that's also the reason that a lot of churches end up becoming irrelevant, because they're not willing to change the approach, never the message. In this instance, we don't use a pipe organ anymore, even though once upon a time we did. And there's been other changes over the years that we've seen trickle down. You have to do that to stay relevant and speak timeless truth into your culture.
All right, we'll be back in a moment. Kingdom Pursuit.